Hello once again to the Kingdom Faith Worship Podcast with me, Colin Swires.
Me, Pete Norman.
And we're joined once again by Pastor Colin Urquhart. And before we get started on the worship questions and really get into the bit that, well, let's face it, everyone actually wants to hear about, Pete, we've discussed a number of times how potentially with you have less hair on your head than you maybe once did, and could this be to do with having to, you know, be responsible for leading a worship team? And
are you talking about the Shekinah glory shining off?
Yeah, reflect, oh, that's what it is. But I've been thinking about this. When you get up in the morning, you want to wash your face, you know, freshen up. How do you know when to stop?
Well, it certainly takes longer now than it used to. It takes longer to wash my face than it did when I was younger.
But it doesn't take so long to wash your hair, then, does it?
Which is offset by that. Yeah, that's right. All works out. Do you know, I've got a burning question to ask Pastor Colin. A twofold question. Pastor Colin, you've had an amazing itinerant ministry. You've travelled all throughout the world. And as a bit of a foodie myself, could you tell me what are, firstly, the best food that you've ever been served, but also the worst food you've ever been served in your itinerant ministry?
Well, I can answer the second question more easily than the first.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Fish head stew.
Ooh.
Yes.
For a whole week.
Oh, no.
In Western Africa, every meal.
Oh, the eyes are a delicacy.
Very, very hot. And they said that they'd done a calmer one for me.
Wow.
The eyes, yes, as the honored guest, I was supposed to eat all the eyes. Mm. That is the one time I have declined. I said, well, as the honored guest, I'd like to honor you and give you the eyes. But the best, I don't know. I've had so much really wonderful food in different places. It's interesting to discover what the national dishes are in different countries. So that's a difficult one, really.
I remember years back when I think I was on my placement when I was a student in France, and I'd been eating fantastic French food, love French cuisine all week, and then I stayed with one family, and they made me a meal. They said, you're probably fed up with all this French food. We thought we'd make you something traditionally English. And I was thinking, well, actually, I quite like the French food, but lovely, what would you like to cook? So we're going to make you chicken and chips. And I thought, okay, I guess that's fairly traditionally English. I hope not everyone thinks that's all we eat in England, but nevertheless. And an hour or two goes by, and she comes out with this glorious whole roasted chicken and puts it on the table. I think, oh, wow, maybe she's done a roast. This looks great. And then she brings out a bowl of cheese and onion crisps. And she goes, voila, chicken and chips. As you eat in England all the time.
Yeah,
roast
day.
Chicken and cheese and onion crisps. And then like a big bowl of peas.
If you'd said Fritz, you'd have been all right.
Yeah, exactly. So lost in translation a little bit,
yes,
there. But it was lovely nonetheless. But anyway, for what we're actually here for today, to discuss.
For what we're about to receive.
We were asking Pastor Connor last week so many questions around worship, and as someone who has been a worshipper for so many years, and God's just revealed so many things about his heart for worship, and we were really just drilling down into some of those things, and wanted to follow that on a little bit with asking some questions to do with lyrics. And we've talked about this recently on one of the podcasts, about this whole idea of poetry over truth, and that's not what we want. But Pete, we had a bit of a friendly disagreement over one particular line, didn't we? We saw things differently.
It was a mild one, yeah. I mean, it's not exactly a heresy, but there's a line. I'm not going to name the song, but there's a line in it that says, "Your name is a light
that
the shadows can't deny."
Yeah,
and yeah, discuss.
Well, I wouldn't discuss it myself. I wouldn't use language like that in my worship of God, because there's too many wonderful scriptural truths that we can use in worship. We don't have to try to be all lyrical and poetical. God is light. He's not a light,
right,
but he is the light. So I would want to place the emphasis on that. But you asked me a question last time, you know, had there ever been a time in worship where there was an embarrassing situation, and I really genuinely couldn't think of anything. But then I remembered I was prayer meeting, and there was a guy who was visiting, and he began to sing, "I'm HAPPY, I'm HAPPY." And nobody knew whether to, out of love for the guy, to join in. Or not to sing, because it was just so way out of context with what was happening at the time. So, but that was more amusing than embarrassing.
I was once in a prayer meeting where someone started singing out in a sort of a spontaneous song kind of style, "Where Is the Love" by the Black Eyed Peas.
There was a moment, Pastor Colin, I remember you telling a tale that's just come to mind now of a time when you were in the holy presence of God. And the Lord had told you to remove your shoes because you were in the unholy ground, and you had a bit of a tussle with the Lord as to whether to do this or not. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Would you mind telling that story?
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, we were meeting with God, and I felt the Lord saying, "You're on holy ground. Take off your shoes." And I thought, I don't want to distract people in the meeting, you know. But you know, He pressed upon me that I was to do this, so I took off my shoes, and when I opened my eyes, I discovered I was the only one that had still had my shoes on. That everybody else had already taken their shoes off. So I was the last one standing there.
That's so good. Yeah. Talking about lyrics of songs, we talked last time about some hymns and older songs and that kind of thing. And I'm just curious, I think this is really interesting, about the way that language develops and changes over time and meaning. And I heard about recently when I think it was the building of St. Paul's Cathedral, the monarch at the time came to view it and said, walked in and said, "It is amusing, artificial, and awful." And what he meant was, it is amusing, meaning it's amazing, and it's artificial, meaning it's so beautifully artistic, and it is awful in that it is full of awe, inspires awe. But if we were today to say that God is awfully amusing, then it would, or amusingly awful, it would have an entirely different meaning, to the point where you couldn't say it, even though the words mean something else. And I think you mentioned one time, Pascal, about the word incredible. Being an interesting word that we might sing, like God is incredible.
Yes, incredible actually means unbelievable.
Right,
yeah.
Of course.
The root word credo.
It means unbelievable. And I can understand God is incredible in the sense that He is beyond anything else. Amen. But He's not actually unbelievable, because we're called to believe in Him.
Yeah. Exactly. Good point. So a hard balance maybe to strike between understanding how somebody would perceive a lyric versus the intention behind it. And again, that whole idea of, to say, like, "Your name is a light," is it a theological statement, or is it just metaphor?
Well, you can understand the sentiment behind what some people sing, but still, if we're going to communicate truth, it's much better to sing truth, not just the words of Scripture, but certainly words that are in line with Scripture.
Yeah. You mentioned last time about this seems to be a bit of an epidemic of people, worship leaders who seem to be, or worship songs that seem to be less and less focused around God, and our worship in spirit and truth are more and more focused around us or our feelings or people or anything but
or
experience.
Our experience of God. Yeah.
I think it's possible for people to worship the presence rather than to worship the Lord.
Yeah, 100%. Right. Something we've talked
about.
You
know, the whole thing is experiencing the presence. Right. No. It's great when the presence of the Lord is discernible in a meeting, but why is His presence there? So that we can encounter Him.
Yeah.
Not just worship the presence, not just say, "Oh Lord, it's so wonderful to be in Your presence, and it's great to be in Your presence." It is great to be in His presence, but it's so that we can have fellowship with Him,
right.
And He reveals His presence because He wants us to encounter Him and probably wants to do things in our lives as a result of that.
Yeah. Would you say that was the difference between perhaps looking at the temple from the holy place and the most holy place?
Well, no, I think that the presence of the Lord is in the holy place. It's not the Holy of Holies.
Yeah.
And I think that is the confusion that many people have about worship. That in the holy place, you can stand and you can sing songs and you can play your instruments and you can know the holy presence of God. But when you move into the Holy of Holies, you really are on your face before God, like they are in heaven. Yeah. And you cast your crowns before Him. And He is just so awesome that... You're not singing songs. Your heart is. Let me put it this way. He sees you as you are, and you begin to see Him as He really is.
Right.
That's the Holy of Holies.
Wow. Yeah.
And that's a place beyond the holy place.
Yeah.
So just to know the holy presence of God in the meeting is great, it's wonderful, but it's not quite being the same as being right in that Holy of Holies where you come before the throne of God and there is His mercy and there is His grace to help you in your time of need and so on. And that's the place that he wants to draw us into. So I think there's often confusion that people call the holy place, the Holy of Holies.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's only because they've never actually experienced the Holy of Holies.
Yeah. Right.
So they think, well, this is as far as we can go, but it isn't. That's only the staging place, really, to moving right into the Holy of Holies.
Sure.
I suppose it's that subtle but oh so dangerous change in perception that the presence can go from, I understand God's presence is here because He Himself is present, to God's presence is the way I feel when He is present, like a nice tingle or, you know, a goosebump or whatever. And that dangerous change in the focus being, you can only have His presence if He is present, so it's about Him to...
Well, it becomes a matter of focus, you see. You can have the people leading worship, their focus is the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Rather than the focus being on the Lord enthroned in glory.
Right, right.
You see, that's the difference.
Yeah.
Let's meet with the Lord enthroned in glory.
Right.
Let's meet with the Holy One, not just be in that staging point. As good as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
As good as it is. I'm not denying how wonderful it is to be in the holy presence of God, but let's push on beyond that. I feel that the holy presence of God is like the threshold into the Holy of Holies, and God wants us to cross the threshold.
Right.
He used to explain it to me as like the holy place is being in the room next to the glory, but it's not being in the glory.
Yeah.
And what He wants is to bring us right into the glory.
Yeah.
What holds us back, Pastor Colin, from entering properly into and really to that point where we know we're right before the throne meeting with God? What holds generally?
Hunger for God Himself.
Right.
A desire for God, not just a desire to experience His presence. Because, you see, what we're doing then is we're desiring an experience. Yeah. Right. But He wants us to have, not desire experience, but to desire Him. And we want Him to impact our lives with His life so that we're transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory. Yeah. So it's a difference between experience and real encounter with God.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, we need encounter meetings, not experience meetings.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, well, there we go.
So we're getting so many more things that we can quote in future podcasts. This is great.
I'm going to listen back to this. It's going to be good.
I don't know if this is true, Pascal. I've never actually spoken to you about this, asked you about this. Somebody once told me that a well-known worship leader once came to you and said, I'm frustrated with the songs at the moment just being songs, and I want to really come back to the heart of worship. That was an unsubtle hint there. But and came and spoke to you about that and wrote a song about coming back to the heart of worship And it was still a song about worship rather than about come back to God. For those people who maybe they are frustrated with the songs that are out at the moment and they're just looking for that simplicity, like you mentioned last week, of simplicity of worship, simplicity in the lyrics. So it's not about the song, but just coming before God. What could you recommend? I know that you've written some songs.
Forget songs. Absolutely. Just worship him from your heart. Yeah. You don't need songs to do that. You don't need a band to do that. You don't even need a worship meeting to do that. You can. It's all a question of your desire to worship him and to meet with him. It's much easier when you have a corporate context and you have a number of people together who have the same intent, because you get that corporate dynamic, that corporate anointing, and that draws people in, those that are perhaps not quite in the same place. They get encouraged and they get drawn into what God is doing among his people. But, you know, it is the Spirit giving us the worship, and so much leading of worship is trying to drive people rather than lead people.
Right.
And if the worship, if those who are on the platform are worshiping, others would join in.
Right.
Right. To lead by example.
And you know, I always say, if the worshiper is talking to the people, he's not talking to the Lord.
Right.
And while he's talking to the people, he's not worshiping. So if he's not worshiping, how can other people worship?
Right.
We have, just to explain to the listeners, we have a general rule here that the worship leaders here don't speak to the congregation. You know, we have meeting leaders who will do that. And the job of the worship leader is just to worship. So just to explain to those who haven't experienced worship here.
Yes, I mean, if I go way, 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 way back to the charismatic days when, of course, there weren't all the worship bands and there weren't all the CDs and everything like that. And I was speaking at, you know, one big meeting after another. Wherever I went, there would be big crowds of people. And you were never quite sure what the level of worship leading was going to be. And I always remember there was one occasion when there was this lady. I suppose she would have been probably in her late 30s, something like that. And it was this enormous church that was absolutely packed full of hundreds of people. And all she had was a gut string guitar. And she was the worship team. And I sort of looked at her and looked at this guitar and I thought, Lord, what on earth is this going to be like? But you know, she just stood there and worshipped. And it was the most glorious time of worship. Wow. Wow. See, because she simply worshipped.
Yeah.
She just stood there and worshipped the Lord and the hundreds of people that were there. I don't know, probably 500 or 600 people or more. They were just all caught up in the worship with her. Now that, to me, is real worship leading, right. She didn't talk to them. She just stood there and started to worship Jesus. And I don't suppose her gut string guitar was heard even over all the noise of the worship, but it was anointed, you see. That's the point. That technique can never compensate for a lack of anointing.
There's a quote. Write it down.
Everything depends upon anointing in worship, in preaching, in leading meetings, everything.
When you say a person's anointed, Pastor Colin, can someone ask for an anointing or is it given?
Well, God gives anointing. He gives us anointing for whatever he calls us to do. I mean, the anointing is the life and power of the Holy Spirit. Whether we flow in the anointing is another matter.
Right.
Because you only flow in your anointing if you're being obedient to the leading of the Spirit.
Right.
But, you know, you can have a person who is anointing, he has an anointing, but he's doing his own thing.
Right.
And is not following the Spirit.
I think I'm thinking about maybe say someone who can sing and but perhaps isn't anointed to lead worship, has an amazing voice, but wants to be anointed to lead worship, can they ask for that anointing, or is that...
Well, you can ask for anything, but...
no, it's just an interesting thought that came
If the mind. Lord wants him to lead worship, then the Lord will anoint him to do that. That's
yeah.
the point.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Lord doesn't anoint us for things he doesn't want us to do. It all depends.
Yeah.
Just because a person has a natural gift doesn't mean that the Lord is going to use that natural gift.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah.
It all depends. And, you know, God is well aware that what is in the heart of the person is the most important thing. If the heart isn't right, it doesn't matter what gift he has.
Right.
I suppose it's that discerning of what's gift and what's anointing, is it?
Well, there's a natural gift. I mean, yeah. if a person has got naturally has got a good voice,
yeah.
right, that is, you could say, it's a God-given gift at that level, but that's not an anointing.
Yeah.
To use that gift in an anointed way adds another dimension entirely
right.
yeah. to the natural gift.
Is that a case of submission? Of submitting that gift as well.
Yes, yes. I mean, we had, I don't know whether you remember, but we had an opera singer at Faith Camp a few years
yeah.
ago
who came and said,
from Italy. Absolutely great. Now, you see, she was a leading opera, a rising opera star in Italy, and then she came to the Lord and she gave her natural gift to the Lord to be used
yeah.
for his glory. So, I mean, she had this wonderful voice,
yeah.
which even the children, I can remember at the family service, because people said, are you going to get her to sing at the family service? So I said, yes, yes. And the kids loved it. They thought they'd never heard anything like this before.
It sounded like an instrument, didn't it?
But it was so consecrated to the Lord, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I mean, it was just... Her singing was full of Jesus. It wasn't just a beautiful, natural voice.
She had some top tips for us as well, for us singers. She gave us some instruction on singing. It was great, actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Really good.
Drink apple juice,
good for your throat.
That's what the opera...
Chocolate milk.
That's what the opera...
No, not chocolate milk.
Not chocolate milk. The opera singers drink apple juice because the pectin in it is the best thing to keep your throat relaxed and clear. So
there we go.
Chocolate is supposed to be the worst thing, isn't it?
Well, anything with lactose in it as well is not good. Cheese and all that, it bungs you up in the... clogs all the breathing apparatus up. Cheese and milk.
Fish head stew isn't much good for you either.
Fish head stew, full circle.
Breathing fire on the microphone.
Yeah. Have you got another question, Colin?
Well, no, I think that's pretty succinctly answered the yeah. question. But really, like, yeah, just coming back to the heart of worship is not about writing the next great song that comes back to the heart of worship. It's about your heart
coming back to worship.
Well, what we need to remember is what Jesus says in John chapter 3, that the Father is not actually looking for worship.
Right.
He's looking for worshippers.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And if you're a worshipper, you will worship God. You won't be dependent upon a band or a meeting or somebody singing the right song in the right way. The worship is in your heart and you will want to give expression to that. If you're not a worshipper, then God wants to turn you into a worshipper.
Right, right.
Because what will you be doing in heaven for all eternity?
Yeah.
Well, according to the book of Revelation, you'll be worshipping.
Yeah.
So,
there's one I've got, while you mention that, one I've got to ask. People who say, could you just turn it down a bit? I just like it. I like quiet, introspective, peaceful worship.
Well, I like quiet worship too at times. In worship, they're all worshipping with loud voices. I sit in the front row here, and the band is far, far too loud if you're sitting in the front row. Because you're not just getting through the PA, but you're getting it live as well. And it sort of blasts me out, really. And I know my wife finds that exceedingly difficult. So I think, you know, worship can be too loud and actually prevent people from worshiping. But, you know, let me put it this way, that worship needs to be exuberant.
Right.
It, exuberant praise, even when we're right before the throne of God in His holiness. You're worshiping Him in an exuberant way. And that can be quiet, it can be noisy, but it's absolutely full on.
Right, right.
That's a great way of putting it.
Right. Fantastic. Have you got any questions, Pete? Because now's the time to ask them.
You better be quick, because I've got to go.
It might take too long, yeah, because we're running out of time here. But do you know, I just thought, if you could tell the story of what happened when we had a move of worship here, and the worship, I believe the worship was good, but God said, I want to take you up to another level.
Oh, that is too long.
That's too long a story. Maybe we'll save that one.
Save that one for another occasion, because that's so important.
It is so important.
But it is a long story. You should have asked that 10 minutes ago.
We wanted to discuss fishing.
But I've got to go and give a lecture now. So.
Hopefully we've piqued some interest and whetted some appetite. And remember, of course, if you have any questions, maybe even specifically for Pastor Colin, you've always thought, I've really wanted to know this about worship. And we could have a section, Ask the Apostle, you know.
100%. That would be great.
Then please do write in to colin.squires@kingdomfaith.com.
Or pete.norman@kingdomfaith.com.
And we'll try and get your questions answered. And thank you so much for Pastor Colin for coming on.
Thank you, Pastor.
Giving up his time from a busy teaching schedule as well.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, God bless you. I'm off.
Thanks, Pastor Colin.
We'll see you next week.
He's running away to a lecture now as we speak.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.